Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We have the illustrious Lowell Ponte. And Lowell, you got two articles to cover today, and you've provided a suggestion. I thought, hey, this must have been from some top lawyer. But I won't steal your thunder. I want you to give the suggestion yourself, because we've got these two major articles. We've got this caravan that's been somewhat broken up in Mexico. But it's not going to stop the massive surge of people coming across the border because of the Obama immigration law, which is law. Catch and release, which is absolutely ridiculous. No country, Mexico or anywhere else in the world, has a law like this, do they?
No, in fact, Mexican immigration law is rather interesting. Number one, they do have a massive fence and security system on their southern border so that people cannot just casually walk in from Guatemala anytime they wish. And yet they demand that we do. Mexico insists that we become a bilingual nation like Canada, where everyone has to be able to speak Spanish. But interestingly, in Mexico itself, they insist that everything, every court case and so on, be handled in Spanish. What is Spanish? It is a European colonial language like Indian, like English. If you look at what people actually speak in Mexico, millions of them still speak Nahuatl, the language of the Aztecs. But they are not permitted to stage a court case or anything else in Nahuatl. There is no consideration for their language as another legal language in Mexico. And of course, best of all, under their immigration law, if you are caught entering their country illegally or being in their country illegally, first instance, 2 years in prison. Second instance, up to 10 years in prison.
Wow.
At the discretion of the state. Now, they don't mess around and they don't give wild appeals and special rights and privileges to those who immigrate illegally. Oh, and of course, if you are in Mexico and you try to involve yourself in Mexican politics, trying to tilt their election, for example, as a foreigner, you can be jailed for that. And yet they think it's perfectly casual and ordinary for Mexicans to come here and deliberately influence our elections.
Well, I think that's going to end. I think Trump is actually putting it to them, and he's got the knife to their neck with the NAFTA agreement, because they've got an $85 billion a year deficit with America, which means that we're losing like crazy. I mean, they exceed even Japan and South Korea in terms of the amount of trade deficit we have. The only one that's more than them is China.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Donald Trump's basically going to stop this foolishness. Now, we want a situation like Britain is trying to work out with Brexit, where you don't have tariffs going back and forth and back and forth when you have a project that may require going back and forth between Britain and Europe 10 times before it's completed. But on the other hand, you don't want a situation where, like the highest tariffs in the world now are China. China's gone crazy. They're now proposing 128 products with 30-plus billion. Now I've never heard another proposal for another 50 billion tariffs because we slapped more tariffs. China's going to lose this one, aren't they?
Well, we have a poor balance of trade of more than $500 billion a year with China.
So I actually heard the number that I've heard is like $835 billion is the number that I've heard.
Oh, I'm using a baseline number. Yeah, you can pick either one. The point is, Trump's attitude is to shrug and say, we really can't lose. I mean, right. If they shut off everything we're sending, which they're virtually doing anyway,
right?
And we then shut off what they're sending, we just gain from that.
Right.
We no longer have a $500 or $800 billion a year deficit or negative balance of trade with China. So that's all to our advantage. And frankly, China needs us as a market far more than we need them.
Right.
In fact, they virtually keep us from being a market anyway, you know. On cars and a lot of other things, we put virtually no tariff on them at all. They put a 25 to 50% tariff on us, and if an American company goes there to make things, they demand 49% ownership and that all their industrial secrets be turned over to China, which then turns around, uses them illegally, and competes with the Americans who came there to sell things.
Quite amazing, isn't it? I mean, the attitude to me is win-win us, to hell with you. And that's going to end. China doesn't realize you may be able to act like a dictator to your people trapped in your own country for a time. That's not going to end, too. But you sure as hell can't do it to the rest of the world forever. And when you have populist leaders like Trump, he's not the only one. There's leaders rising in Hungary, Austria, and elsewhere that basically are not going to put up with this anymore, whether it's the European Union or globalists or communist leaders like Russia or China. That's why it's a good thing that Trump gave advanced weapons to Ukrainians and helped to support the Poles against the Russians and is going to support Taiwan against the Chinese takeover. Taiwanese don't want to become part of China. It's bad for their business.
Well, China maintains the legal illusion, or Taiwan does, that it is the same nation as China, and therefore, in theory, it has the right to take over the rest of China, just as China has the right to take it over. But that's assuming a good American alliance with China. I don't know why China should be concerned. I mean, their attitude, I know that Xi Jinping wants to rule the world in his lifetime, but other than that, China is winning. China could just sit back and wait 50, 100, 200 years to rule the world. And it will probably succeed. It's only if it tries to rush and cause a reaction in the rest of the world.
I have an alternate viewpoint. What I've understood is that there's many more English speakers in India and Malaysia than there is in China. And their advanced culture, their middle class in India, is bigger than their entire population. It's my feeling that the rise of India and these other countries will not only cause many Silicon Valleys, because the real future is in technology and data and 3D printing of parts for machines and robotic assembly. You don't need slave classes. The era of the slave class is over. The era of the hegemony of Russia as a power broker for oil. They're basically a gas station pretending to be a nation. And the idea that China has this giant military and so on. The reason why they have built up their country is massive theft in collaboration with globalists. If it wasn't for 30 years of us exporting our business and even Ronald Reagan buying for $94 million a steel plant in China back during his regime, we wouldn't have a competitor. We've actually made these people, Russia and China, competitors on a military basis. And strategically, the globalists wanted to downgrade America and destroy it and its middle class so they can get rid of borders. That's why we have the Uber left now. That's their primary calling. They don't want a nation with borders. They want a trade zone for the globalists, period. That's what it is. And it's going to end. And other nations are realizing they're suffering greatly because of globalism. And it's their particular version. Trump has his own version of globalism. Globalism by a collective of nations that set currency locked in, like the Bretton Woods, and reasonable trade deals where it can be win-win for all sides. China could win. You're right. If they rush, though, they're going to get crushed. They're not going to make it. In fact, if they try to back Kim Jong-un and Kim does something stupid like send a nuke to us, we're going to nuke their nation flat in a matter of hours, and they're going to cease to exist. As they say, a Chinaman from China will be as rare as the gold of Ophir in the Bible. There'll be Chinamen from Argentina and Arizona, but they sure as hell won't be from China because it'll disappear.
Yeah, even though before this, the normal slogan of well-educated, wealthy Americans was teach your children Spanish and teach your grandchildren Chinese, and you'll be prepared for the future.
That's if the globalists had to run their way. I don't think they're going to. I think that the problem is our biggest problem in America is two things. Number one, we've got pushback from ignorant people that don't want to read. If they just read your articles, for example, they just read what's in the internet, or the World Watch Institute, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Foreign Affairs Journal of the CFR, public documents, people would be enraged. And you don't have to get into conspiracy theories to realize that the globalists are trying to kill us and kill our economy and destroy our nation state and our borders. You don't have to confabulate or be in a psychotic state. You just have to be aware. People are becoming aware, and that's why the jig is up.
Well, this march from Mexico is in fact pushed by a group called People Without Borders.
Exactly.
Entity Without Borders.
There you go. Things. If Trump wants to succeed, there's a formula. Number one, he needs to campaign for the Trump-supporting Republicans. There's a lot of Republicans that didn't support him. Obviously, Ryan and McConnell thought that they could get away with this omnibus bill, cutting them down to $1.6 billion for the wall. They figured they could continue funding Planned Unparenthood, which is an affront to Christians that don't want our tax money turned into blood money, for $500 million to kill 330,000 babies every year. And the third thing they did is they blew up the budget. If you're going to do any budgetary management, you've got to, like any business, reduce the, you have to build up the military, but you got to reduce the overall budget and take away programs that are stupid and wasteful, including in foreign countries where we're protecting the border of foreign countries, but not America. It's obvious to me that we have a bunch of criminals that call themselves politicians, like Pelosi and Schumer. And like Ryan and even McConnell, these people, when they shoved this omnibus bill, I think if Donald Trump's financial advisor, Mulvaney, was actually in this meeting, I guarantee he'd be telling Trump, and Trump would be yelling to the top of his voice on the phone to these guys, what the hell do you think you're trying to pull off, trying to shove this through in 4 days with a private meeting of four Democrats and Republicans, and shoving this bill in my face, don't do it next. I think next time he should have Mulvaney in these meetings when they come up in September for another omnibus bill. And by the way, omnibus is the kind of bills that Obama had come repeatedly, and he just pulled it back, because omnibus doesn't mean it's a budget. It just means it's an appropriations. So he could pull back that $500 million to Planned Unparenthood and all the other stupid projects, and he could reassign the money to make sure he builds his wall. And not just the wall. Remember, the wall is actually only one-third maybe of the actual thing to protect us. It's better immigration laws. It's more people on the border. It's also better interdiction systems, including drones, because in some places you can't build a wall, like along the Rio Grande. You have to build a concrete berm on the edge of the river, so it's not easy for people to get over, but it doesn't block cattle, as an example, going down to the river to drink.
So there are hundreds of things we could do. I mean, you could say forget about the wall. Suppose you just had enforcement on employers, but they could only hire people with a document proving they're citizens, and then it becomes a felony, a serious felony, if they present a false document or if they lie about being a citizen.
Yeah, that's a part of the cyber wall, the e-wall, the employment wall. See, the wall is not just a physical wall. In a lot of places, there's no need for a wall. Other places, you need a berm. But the most important thing is not only things like, drones and, tethered, for example, balloons up at so many thousands of feet so you can see people coming 50 miles away. You need more of a kind of a fence wall where you can't climb it, but you also can see through it. So they can't cut with torches these old Vietnam fences and then drive a big truck full of drugs. Because as far as I've heard, that 90% of the drugs that were going through during Obama's years are still coming through the fence. They may have cut down the immigration, but now the immigration I've heard since Trump is elected is surged right back up to where it was. Where the catch and release policy is legal. And I think that Trump should, the next thing he should do is to put an executive order ending catch and release. And then have it bumped up, if necessary, to the Supreme Court, because that catch and release law is unconstitutional. And have the Supreme Court review it and kill it. He also needs to appoint a new Supreme Court justice to replace the female justice that's been around forever, and she's an activist judge who's going to leave this fall. She's in her mid-90s, I think. And
Ginsburg.
And also we need to actually have a rule out that former justices shouldn't be able to make public opinions on policy that's federal government policy. This side, Justice Stevens, has too big a mouth and too high a position in the past to allow him to make a public opinion about something he has no right to do.
Well, he's a former justice. I don't think so.
Right, but I think that he shouldn't be allowed, just like people that are lobbyists, if they need to pass a lobby law saying you can't lobby for industry, he's lobbying for a point of view where he lost, in a very narrow reading, what, about 25 years ago, 5-4, he lost very lightly to almost ban guns. And people don't understand that if you lose your ability to protect yourself, especially in rural areas, but if society breaks down from a cyber attack or under a power grid or anything happen, or nuclear war, you have no protection at all, especially if you're a small female alone trying to be in a parkade. I don't think people understand this. Former justices shouldn't have a right to speak on public issues. And we should block lobbyists from going back and forth like the musical chairs between industry and government. I think it's disgusting.
Oh, I think your view is quite reasonable. We, of course, are limiting people's free speech and so on.
But well, it's free if I'm using manipulating their employment. It's not speech so much. It's actually using your points of employment and in secret information, which you have both from industry and inside government and contacts, to manipulate public policy and to sway the government in the direction of industry or points of view or people with a lot of money or a particular agenda. They can actually over or neutralize the democracy. In fact, what they're doing is they're neutralizing the democratic process, just like the bureaucrats that are not giving over the documents in the DOJ. And the people that are holdovers that think that they can just wait out, and in 2020, if they get a Democrat, they can ignore the policies Trump's putting in to try to stop the massive immigration. They figure, well, if we just kind of hold a guy off so he doesn't even have a cabinet for 2 more years, we'll just put a Democrat in there and we'll do whatever the hell we please, which is keep open borders and swell the American population in the next decade another, say, 100 million people. All instant Democrats.
Looking to term limit people, we should also term limit bureaucrats, so on, too.
I think so, too. Good idea.
As we look at Donald Trump revealing just how perverse the unelected deep state is. I know that scientists say they have discovered a brand new organ we never knew existed before in human beings called interstitium.
Yeah. This is like the political interstitium, isn't it?
Trump has revealed, in fact, a new organ in our body politic.
Yeah. Well, you see, the body politic is what I'm talking about. Rotating between industry and government is noxious to the body itself. It's noxious to democracy. It's counter to the idea of elected officials having power because they can't even get things done because the bureaucrats constantly block them. Just look at Schumer and Pelosi. They think, block, block, block. And I don't understand why Trump doesn't direct McConnell to say, use the nuclear option and get immigration law in. Do it now. Or I'm going to make sure I campaign against you and try to remove you from office. That's how tough he should get.
He should. Of course, we're coming right up on an election where Republicans are scared to death. They're about to become a minority in which these supermajority requirements, like a 60-vote in the Senate requirement, are the only thing they'll have to block Democrats, except, of course, Trump's veto.
Yeah, but that's their own fault. They brought this on themselves. I see Trump's hitting 50% popularity, but not the Congress and Senate. They've continuously screwed themselves into a corner now. And it's because they won't follow the Trump agenda. And if we were to learn anything, if you don't follow the Trump agenda, and you don't have to agree with everything Trump's doing. I don't agree with the military and the police by getting equipment. I don't believe the idea that there are some of the ICE agencies let go ahead and remove people that are picking our fruit. But, you know, to be honest with you, he needs to be more aggressive in some things. This mayor of Oakland, she needs to be arrested today, and so does the attorney general that's trying to enforce this law, and the governor of California, Governor Moonbeam. They need to be arrested under federal law. You need to stop playing games with these people. They're putting the public in danger. I live in an area, well, my second oldest son had an incident last week, and I can tell you, these people, these illegals that are here, that are drug addicts and crazies, they need to be out of the country or in prison. So, Lowell, there's some very simple solutions to these problems. The reason why they're not done and is bizarre. It's almost like if someone's bleeding, you put pressure on the wound until you get the operating room and tie off the artery that's been hit, say, nicked by a bullet or a knife. And to me, America is hemorrhaging. It's hemorrhaging financially because of stupid policies by evil. Not just stupid. I have a new term I call stevil, a combination of stupidity and evil. Presidents, corporate managers, globalists, etc. I mean, and a lot of these people are bought into anti-scientific policies like global warming is caused by people and carbon is bad. When in fact, it's the carbon oxygen cycle that generates oxygen. That's why the current policies, not fixing the oceans, have dropped the oxygen concentration at sea level from 21% 20 years ago to 19. People don't realize in the future, if you don't fix that, you're going to have to live in a dome city or walk around with an oxygen concentrator, or you're not going to be able to breathe. People don't realize this, do they?
No, nor do they realize that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, for example, has been caught again by analysts readjusting climate data. They've readjusted it to cause a 2.5-degree warming that never actually existed.
Right, they take out data for the upper latitudes, right?
Yeah, mainly, but because that's the only place you really have thermometers. I mean, we have very little climate measuring south of the equator, except by satellite, and satellite measurements all do not show the warming.
Right.
So you get these problems. Anyway, a couple of quick things. You mentioned I have two columns out this week at AmericanThinker.com. Number one question that I raise, you know, we've been waiting to see whether California will secede from the United States. I don't think Trump should do that. I think Trump should affirmatively declare that California is officially a state in rebellion, that secession has already occurred with the passage and activation April 1st. Of California's new voting law that allows illegal aliens to be automatically registered to vote. That is such a profound violation of our democracy that Trump should attack California as already seceded and should declare that all California members of Congress and Senate should simply not be seated after the November election because the election is hopelessly corrupted. By the way, progressivism would die overnight in this country without the electoral power of California. Democrats never hope to win another presidential election. They would lose all influence in Washington, D.C. without those votes. They have 53 members of Congress, 39 of whom are Democrats now, more of whom are likely to be Democrats after the November election. So what Trump is doing, in effect, is nullifying the coming November election in California right now. He should announce that their entire electoral process is invalid.
Well, after April 1, you're right. April 1, they've actually made a law that shows we're already in secession. Because that's actually what's going on. The fact that they actually have a lawsuit and they have collaborative towns and counties in California fighting against this, but the fact is it's the law in California, means they've actually formally seceded, haven't they?
Oh, if Trump wanted to go to it. You understand the courts have ruled that a state or whatever has the power to allow illegals to vote in a state, in a local, or in a county election. But they definitely, unquestionably, cannot vote in a federal election. If I were Trump, I would say the election of Jerry Brown, the election of the Democrat state legislatures, the election of every Democrat to public office is invalid because the electoral process is now so badly corrupted that it allows foreigners to vote. You are no longer California. You are now Mexifornia. And we are simply not going to acknowledge any election held in California as valid until this is corrected.
Now, why does Jerry Brown think they're going to get away with this? Why is he so rabidly for this? It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
It empowers the Democratic Party because illegals tend to vote 2-1 Democrat.
That also doesn't make sense to me because, to be honest with you, this wave of illegals is hurt by the next wave of illegals, right? So if the DACA kids, for example, should vote, be Republican supporters, because if they got the DACA deal, it means they won't have the next wave of illegals competing against them, because that's what's going to happen, whether they're from Mexico or Honduras or wherever.
And by the way, just parenthetically, we can go, I have a great deal of detail in my column how this works. To begin with, I've heard the left start making all kinds of things with this convoy of people coming up from Mexico to challenge evil, satanic United States. And they are now calling Trump racist because he's anti-Latino. Well, he's not anti-Latino, but even if he were, Latino, Hispanic are not racial categories. These are ethnic cultural categories. I could take you to Mexico and show you a vast number of blue-eyed, blonde-haired Latino Mexicans.
And red-haired Mexicans. Like, yeah, I saw one MMA fighter not long ago. Guys, you'd think, well, this guy must be from Ireland, and he's Mexican.
Yeah, so it's, you're calling Trump racist when, over something that isn't even racial, which is kind of funny. But what they do need to realize, however, is if you let Mexicans into the United States, Mexicans are far more racist than even Klansmen in the United States.
Yeah.
They have a long tradition of casta, of treating brown-skinned Mexicans, really brown-skinned native Mexicans, as if they were almost animals.
Well, they do. In fact, that's part of their culture. And it hasn't changed, really, has it?
And more than that, if you look, like a few years ago, there was a movie advocating black rights and black strength and so on about Compton, right? Mm-hmm. You want to go to Compton today? Compton today is Hispanic.
Yeah, it's what, Hispanic. Two-thirds Hispanic now, right? Two-thirds Hispanic, right?
And believe me, my brother has been worked as a security guard there. He says what happens is Hispanic gangs come in and they just frighten blacks out of the neighborhood. They just say, you get out of here within 48 hours or you could wind up dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Hispanic sweeping across Southern California means. There are only 6% Californians who are black left. And that is a diminishing percentage, not an increasing one.
Interesting.
The question is, can blacks flee faster than whites from California? But, no, it's a state with one-third of all of America's welfare recipients. But you're right. I mean, Hispanics are very smart. And what that means is after a generation or two of seeing what the Democratic Party is really like and how it betrays people like African-Americans who used to support it, they're going to turn on the Democrats. I mean, these are people who have much stronger family values even than Anglos in the U.S.
Exactly.
These are people with a work ethic. They are religious, by and large. Most of their values are not Democratic Party values. One-third of Democrats are now not religiously affiliated, a.k.a. atheist or agnostic.
Right.
I wrote in my column a week ago, I think we discussed. The second column, we can continue with detail of that. The second column I have out today, a judge in Los Angeles has ruled that coffee must carry a warning label that it might cause cancer. And I explained a few of the quick reasons why environmentalists are really nuts about a lot of that. They don't understand what they're talking about. But forget that. My point is not to bury warning labels, I write, but to praise them. We need more. We need far more. And what I see in the column and layout is, suppose every time you opened your taxes, every time you opened a ballot to vote, every time a politician stood before you, they had to have a warning label attached saying government is hazardous to your health, government kills you, government is evil, taxes and so on are an integral regulations of like an enormous cause of stress which creates cancer, heart attack, and a whole bunch of other
things. Yeah, and it's true too as well.
Let's have all those warning labels, boys and girls.
Yeah, it should be slapped on their videos even when they're on air, right?
I think so. I think we should just put it on MSNBC and CNN permanently.
Yeah. Announce your books that you've been doing. So this is the seventh book with Craig Smith, and how they can obtain it, what the phone number is in order to obtain it, and your other plans. Of course, we talked about an article that we'll talk about in the next week or so, a very important recommendation for Trump regarding property. But how do people get your books?
The latest book, and Craig, of course, you see about once a week on with Neil Cavuto on Fox Business. It's called Money, Morality, and the Machine. This is the seventh book we've co-authored. 250 pages of fascinating material, and it's documented so that you can argue it with friends you may disagree with on issues. To get the book absolutely free and post-paid, because it's, after all, important that the most important radio audience in America, yours, hear about it and know these things, is 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's 1-800-630-1492. And thank you for reminding me. By the way, speaking of Columbus, you doubtless have heard there was an attempt to tear down, or a plan to tear down, Thomas Jefferson's statue at Hofstra University because he's so evil. Because of Native American objections, though not very many, they're planning to tear down a statue of William McKinley, another president around 1900, in Washington State. But interestingly, this does not mean that the idolatry is ended, because they are now planning in Hawaii to erect a statue to Barack Obama.
Wow.
So making graven images continues, boys and girls. What can we say? Oh, well, a few things I should probably have mentioned in the issue of voting. Let's see, of course, the question is, why can California be declared to have seceded simply by changing its voting law? Because there are numerous Supreme Court cases now that make it illegal to dilute the votes of citizens of the United States. And giving foreigners, outright foreigners, knowingly the power to vote in elections clearly dilutes the vote of those who are citizens. You know, every illegal allowed to vote is someone who can cancel out your vote in California or elsewhere, for example. Second, there is 18 U.S.C. 421, popularly known as the Conspiracy Against Rights Act. That is, there can be outright felony criminal prosecution under that law of any California official who has colluded in an attempt to dilute the rights, the civil rights, the voting rights of American citizens in California. So I suggested that Trump should actually start a legal prosecution of Jerry Brown and the scum around him under the Conspiracy Against Rights Act.
Wow. That would be interesting. I like that. That lawsuit would be well supported by a lot of good attorneys and constitutional experts, wouldn't it?
I've had attorneys write me about that, saying, what a wonderful idea. I think Trump should do it, too, from across the country. But think about this. I mean, how, if you were Jerry Brown, would you justify diluting the voting rights of citizens of the United States and violating their civil rights in the name of letting non-citizens vote. How do you defend that in a case invoking the Conspiracy Against Rights Act, which, by the way, was used to defend, for example, African Americans voting in the South, where they've been discriminated against. Same thing applies to white people in California right now, or citizens in California.
Yeah. Interesting, eh?
That's but then, to be clear, the Mexicans are not, in fact, most Mexicans think of themselves as white, and in fact have a perfectly good reason for doing so. They're descended from conquistadors.
From Spanish, yeah. In fact, if you actually go to Mexico, it's interesting, the nation with the most millionaires in the world is Mexico. And they're all Hispanic descendants, and they're all extremely white Hispanic descendants.
So is usually the ruling government, by the way.
The what?
So is the ruling government. The ruling elite in Mexico, all very, very white.
Yeah, which is interesting. They're much less democratic in terms of so-called race or subgroup than America, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, they haven't had a quote-unquote minority president since, what was his name, the fellow who overthrew the emperor, Maximilian, 150 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. So you do have this challenge that they've had this incredible run of extreme elitists who think of themselves as much whiter than the average American. After all, we're mixed. We intermarry with Native Americans to the tune of 30 million plus Americans here. We are a much broader minded basis. I mean, so many of us are Heinz 57 Americans. I mean, I'm part English, part Scottish, part French, part German, and so on.
Right. Yeah, like my name is Norwegian. I'm Scottish, Irish, British, German, some German, and Syrian, Lebanese, that basically are descended from the Cohens. And, you know, Maronite Christians, so...
You mean the Kohanim.
The Kohanim, yeah. So my family line goes right back to Moses. And the Maronite Christians that were inhabiting Beirut and a little town outside Beirut called Beshkint. So
the Kohanim are the priestly class. My wife is a Levite, so she is is descended from the tribe that were assistants to the priestly class, the Kohanim.
Yeah, well, the Kohanim had 24 family lines, and there was only one of those 24 family lines who were direct blood descendants of Moses, and that's my family line. All the rest are sons of Aaron, which are the brother of Moses. And so all the Cohens basically are all relatives, close relatives.
Well, I thought Aaron and Moses were Levites.
They are. But the thing is, there's only one family line of the 24 that were blood descendants of Moses, and the other 23 family lines were from Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Interesting, eh?
Moses spent all his time preaching and climbing alone up on mountains rather than breeding. That's what it came down.
Obviously, or later on, his breeding class was very linear. So,
he showed over the world as a whole that something like one out of every 900 people in this world is descended from Genghis Khan.
Yeah, and actually, I have a feeling that I may have some Genghis Khan in me because I've got people from the steppe that are my ancestors because I have a Mongolian spot in my back. So there's some Mongols in my ancestry, because my great-great-grandfather owned the caravan that traveled between Damascus, Syria, and China twice a year, and they traveled back and forth, and I'm sure there's some interbreeding there, as people and women were being picked up along the trail to China, and some of those were steppe women, like my great-great-grandfather's wife, they were the, it was called Bashas, and they owned the largest caravan that traveled between Syria and China for many centuries.
My wife's grandmother, or grandfather, pardon me, on her mother's side, was Mongol, apparently. At least he certainly looked as a Russian.
Right. And that's, of course, by the way, that's the other thing, is that a quarter of the genetics of the Russian people is Mongolian, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Interesting people, to say the least.
Yeah, well, they're mainly from the steppe, you know, that we call the steppes. The Mongolian steppes is what we're talking about.
Right. Lest we forget, we are celebrating Martin Luther King's day today. We also are remembering Winnie Mandela, who just died at 81, this noble, heroic leader while her husband was in prison, who made it her policy that by her many bodyguards around her, that if anyone disagreed with her or crossed her, she would have them seize a rubber tire, which burns much, much hotter than wood, say, would be filled with gasoline, pushed down over their shoulders, and then ignited in a process she called necklace.
Wow.
The glory of Winnie Mandela, ladies and gentlemen.
The glory, yeah. The day, that's why right now, this last month, South Africa is seizing all the white farms and all the white businesses. So it's going way over the edge, isn't it? Because the thing was bad during apartheid.
And until August, but yes.
Yeah, so the white apartheid was nowhere near as bad as the black apartheid, which is occurring right now.
But we condemn white apartheid, should we condemn apartheid 2.0?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it's very vile. Well, it's also it's a business disaster too. Just see, look at Zimbabwe, same thing. It is.
I tried other brands.
It's made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.